All right, everybody. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. What a wonderful day. I think it was in the 70s yesterday. Was that right? I saw my truck. It said 80 because it was in the sun. But as soon as I started moving, it went down. But what an amazing day we're having. What an amazing day to worship the Lord together. Amen. Let's go ahead and we will open up in a word of prayer and have our song. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and the honor to come together to worship you, Lord. We just ask that you would be with us this morning as we keep in remembrance everything that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, bless this service as we fellowship together, catch up from the week's events, and looking forward to next week, Lord. But we also ask that you would be with us as we get into your word as well, and as we worship you in music. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Let's stand together and sing.
Did everybody get a bulletin? Let's see here. We have the Sunday School Children's Services. Just note that. We do have a copy up there. Miss Carly is right here. She's right here doing amazing things. And so she is our Sunday School teacher leader. So thank you, Carly, for everything you do with that. If you would like to serve, we have a little handy-dandy little calendar in the back. Go ahead and just let Carly know you'd like to serve. We'll get a background check done on you, and we'll get you plugged in. Also, let's see here. We did change the dates for our mission trip to Indian Bible College to shorten it up from the 13th to the 22nd. It's going to be two-day driving, and then a week down there, and then two-day driving back. We'll probably find either a little KOA or maybe just a Walmart parking lot to hang out in for the trip down. Anyways, if you're interested, please let me know. We shorten up the days to see if there be more interest in going. We need to get probably, you know, at least, you know, 10 or 12 folks down there. Anyways, let me know if you're interested, if that helps to shorten it up a little bit, that you can make it. Also, this Thursday, coming up is we're going to continue our Bible study in the book of Revelation, Revelation 19. This is a good chapter to fall in at. Well, I mean, every chapter is good, but Revelation 19, man, it's the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We've spent a lot of chapters in all of the scrolls and the vials and the trumpets and all this horribleness. But always, God is always reminding us in those chapters that He's in control of everything. God brought up, God caused. But now we're at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So an amazing, amazing chapter. Also, National Day of Prayer at the courthouse lawn. That'll be May 2nd. Please show up. You don't have to really do anything. If you don't want to, just come and then show up. And the pastors and parachurch leaders in the community may offer a prayer. And then there's a time when you just kind of gather up in prayer circles on the lawn if you choose to. But please, it's a good time to pray. Prayer is the only offensive weapon we have, folks. We can't go around bopping people on the head or sending missiles over to Ukraine or, you know, Israel, even though I'd like to do that as a military guy. But that would not be God-honoring. So please show up at the National Day of Prayer as well. Any other announcements that I'm missing? All right, go ahead and do prayers and praises and prayer requests after I grab a pen out of my deal here. All right, prayer request. I got a picture of Martha and Robert in front of a really nice looking house. And so it sounds like they found a house down there. And it was funny because Robert last week, he prayed. He was like, hey, pray for us. This is just happening way too quickly. It's almost too easy. So we're kind of uneasy about it easy it is. And so sounds like they settled on the house, praise God, and just continue to keep them in prayer as they're traveling and making the transition down to Missouri. Other prayer requests? Who?
Kim.
Oh, Kim, okay. Okay.
I don't know where my pen went.
I have one.
But I'm going to run some stuff down to
Kim. So. Okay. Absolutely. It's your birthday. It was your birthday a couple days ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yesterday.
I think it was. Yes.
Kim's on Wednesday. It's Kim's birthday.
It was Kim's birthday on Wednesday?
No, upcoming.
Oh, coming up Wednesday. All right. And it's Katie's birthday this week, too. Whoa, I have not. It's a birthday
extravaganza.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
I'm joining the April Ladies Club.
All right. Dave and Barb are heading down to California, so we want to pray for you guys this trip to be safe and fruitful and God-honoring. And so thank you for sharing that with me. I know you guys probably wouldn't say anything, but I brought it up. And so
it's
a
happy trip.
Yeah, we want
to.
Awesome, awesome. Okay. All right. I want to praise God for all the visitors that the church is bringing in. I think it's super exciting. I love to see new faces. I love to meet new people. I'm just a social guy. Maybe that's why I was a good trooper, because I love meeting people, whether you wanted me to meet me or not. You're going to meet me today. Anyways, and so thank you, everybody, for that. Praise Jesus for continuing to sustain and build this church. Any other praises or prayer requests? Yes. Yes. Missionaries. Yes, that is a request and a praise. Pray for Israel. There's some pretty crazy stuff going on. So just pray for that whole region. Just pray for peace over there. Pray that the name of Jesus Christ will be proclaimed in everybody's lives over there, whether they be Arab, Jew, Persian, Arabs. So Iranians, they are Persian, they are not Arab. If you accuse them of being an Arab, they will get very grumpy with you. Believe me, it's happened. And so please just pray for that whole region over there. You know, if you watch other, it's easy to think that everybody over there is just you know, lost and going to hell. But there's a lot of wonderful things happening in those countries right now. You know, there's a lot of people coming to Jesus Christ in Iran and also in those other countries. And so pray for the people of those countries as well. Let's see here, just Israel, the whole nation, or the region. Okay, any other praises or prayer requests? All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the children in our church, Lord. What a wonderful blessing, what a wonderful just privilege to be able to have a Sunday school, to have a nursery, Lord. I just ask you would continue to bless the Sunday school, Lord, continue to bring children to church, Lord, continue to bring the Sunday school teachers and nursery folk that can help out with that, Lord. Lord, if this church just existed for the children in our community, that's good enough for me. And so, Lord, I just, again, thank you. We come to you, Lord, in praise for this church, Lord. I would ask you be with this church, Lord. Grow this church in this community, Lord, as you would have it, Lord, in your unique way for this church, Lord. We're talking about the individual spiritual gifts, Lord, but also applies to church bodies. What is our unique gifting that we have for the community? Lord, continue to use us, to leverage us for your kingdom, for your will, and to continue to build this church, Lord. Lord, we just give praises and we give ask for prayer requests, Lord. Lord, there's some people sick today, Lord. We pray for Kim that you would heal her, Lord. I just pray for her. For her uplifting and for her care and for her joy. Lord, we also pray that you be over the Thompsons, Lord, as they make the transition from Montana down to Missouri, Lord. We're super sad to leave them, for them to leave, Lord, but we just love them to death, Lord, and we just we know that we'll see them in the kingdom. But Lord, be with them as they continue to get the housing situation taken care of and their travels. Lord, be with the Kaufmans as they travel down to California. Lord, bless that trip down there with family and friends. We just thank you for all the wonderful people in our life. Lord, be with the missionaries, all of our missionaries, Lord. Just be with them, continue to build them up, Lord. We pray for Israel, and we pray for the folks in the Gaza and the Arab countries. We pray for the people in Iran, Lord. You just pray for that whole region, Lord, that they would come to know you. That is our earnest prayer, Lord, that they would come to know you, and all of these things, horrible things would stop, and the wars would cease, Lord, and eventually you will stop all the wars, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right.
All right. So before we get going, if you'll indulge me for a minute, I just wanted to share a quick testimonial about answer to prayer and something that God did in my life recently. And the reason I wanted to share this, I guess, why God's leading me to share it is because there may be somebody here dealing with something similar to what I did, or and maybe this could be an encouragement to you all. So so just a little backstory. For probably 35 plus years, I used smokeless tobacco and tried to quit many, many times, like over and over and over and over again. And a month ago today, on a Sunday, Wyatt, wherever he went, oh, he's back in the back now, he crawled up on my lap and he told me that they prayed for me in Sunday school. And I had to ask what they prayed for. And he said, because you chew bad chew, Opa. And boy, that hit hard. And all the times that I've tried to quit in the past, I always tried to do it on my own. Because I just figured it was something that I did on my own, so I should try to quit it on my own. And it was something small that I shouldn't necessarily bother God with. I decided that night that I was going to turn that problem over to him.
Amen.
And I haven't looked back.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that because of me, because I didn't do it. God did it. And God can do that for each and every one of you, for anything that you're dealing with. And that's what I wanted to share with you for some encouragement this morning. So, Liam, would you come up? I asked Liam to read our worship scripture this morning. And he's going to read the 23rd Psalm. And I should get him a microphone.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Liam. Our precious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here together today to worship you. We thank you that we can bring anything to you, and if we turn it over to you, you will definitely guide our way as our great shepherd. Lord, we just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand again.
Blessed Jesus. much we need thy tender care. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here I find my rest, and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Who is like the Lord?
bears each promise of His word. When winter fades, I know spring will come. The Lord is my salvation. In times of waiting, times of need, when I know lost, when I am weak, I know His grace will renew these days. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God? Strong to save, faithful in love. My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. And when I reach the final day, He will not leave me in the grave, but I will rise, He will call me home. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God? Strong to save, faithful in love. My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. The Lord is our salvation.
The Lord is our salvation.
Amen. Amen. Let's have, go ahead and be seated. Let's have the children come up. And we will dismiss for, they'll dismiss for Sunday school. I promise I wash my hands. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we just thank You for this wonderful day. We thank You for the children in our church, Lord. I would ask You be with Miss Elaine, Lord, and apparently my wife, too, as well. She instructs the kids and just shows them in Your Word, Lord. Lives it through their actions, Lord. The love that we have for You, the love that we have for Your Word. Lord, be with the Sunday school. Be with us, Lord, as we get into Your Word, Lord. And may we have the same heart that we listen to what's being preached, Lord, and being taught out of the Word, Lord, that we would excuse all personal opinions, traditions, emotions, Lord, and just submit our will to Your Word, Lord. If it's in Your Word, it's in it, we're going to follow it. If it's not, we're not bound by it, Lord. Lord, we just thank You for all the wonderful things You give us every single day. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. All right. Guys, have a good time. All right. Well, we are in sermon number 2, probably about, 15 or 20 of the spiritual gifts. We are going through chapters 12, 13, and 14, and we really have to treat this as a unit in these three chapters. because they're all, I mean, really closely linked. And so if you missed Sundays for whatever reason, please go back and watch the previous message, because we are building upon things that are talking about here. You may miss the context or what's being, you know, being talked about. I did give you some handouts today. I gave out some handouts yesterday. Most of that is just a copy and paste from various resources that I think is pretty good reading. Obviously we don't have all afternoon for me to talk on this, even though I could if you asked, but I know people got schedules, and I'll get hungry, and the stomach will be start looking for some food. So please read that stuff. Those are all written by, you know, men and women. It's not the Bible. So please, we have to, again, submit our will to the Word. And also, before we start today, the spiritual gifts can be a very divisive thing. It's a very emotional thing. People have left this church, folks, in the past because of what I preach about out of the Word of God. And they said, well, I don't agree with that. Even though it's in the Bible, I believe in something else. And they have left this church. And that makes me really sad. Or it's not in the Bible, and say, well, I know it's not in there, but I'm going to do it anyways. And I challenge them in a very lovingly and caring manner. Folks, I'm not a jerk. I used to be. If you want to talk about stuff, please call me. If you want to, you know, discuss something, hey, I think you were wrong in this. What do you think about that? I'm just a phone call away. I'm not going to shame anybody. We're all learning. I'm not perfect. We're all learning together. And I heard a commentator say, and I've probably heard this many times, but if God can use a donkey to talk, certainly He can use me. And so these are I can talk about the kingdom all day. Anyways, and so there may be, and I've taken counsel from different pastors. I always do every week, and it's very possible that somebody may leave this church because of the preaching the spiritual gifts. We're going to continue to preach the counsel of the Word of God. That's where what we're going to talk about. I got a lot of opinions, folks, but I'm not going to preach on it from this pulpit. We're just going to talk about what's in the Word of God and what's not in the Word of God, and we're going to bend our will to that. So with that quick introduction, we left off at verse 7. I'm going to read through verses 7 through, I might go through maybe 11 or maybe 20, but I'm not sure. We're not going to get through the whole chapter today, but let's go ahead and start at 7 and we'll read from there. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit to a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need for thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are ye all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And I love this verse, leading into verse 13. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. We're probably not going to get through the whole chapter, but I really love that last part because it leads into the love chapter. We have to see all of our spiritual gifts through love. That's how we exercise our spiritual gifts. It's how we exercise our Christian liberty. We just talked about this well the last month or two. Love is the central focus on which we do everything in our lives. So verse 7 here, we'll get into it here, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And this is a little bit of a review. The spiritual gift is the ability to do something that is beyond the normal human capacity. It's something that's given to you upon the point of justification. The spiritual gift is from God to display the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And this is really important, folks. Spiritual gifts are given to 100% of all the believers, 100% of the time, directly upon justification. And 100% of the Holy Spirit is given, received, and sealed at the point of justification. There is no double diamond level of Holy Spirit filledness, folks. You get the fullness right there, at the point of justification. 1 Corinthians 7:7 says, For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. And we talked about this extensively last week, that spiritual gifts are for the common good of the entire community in the church, edifying and equipping the body of Christ, which is the church. There is no such thing as a spiritual gift that edifies yourself. And last week I talked about how I like to edify myself by eating ice cream. I was just talking about it this morning. I love ice cream. And I got on the scale, and I've lost 10 pounds because I went on like a sugar, I just got all the sugar out of my life. And I've been working a lot, working on the house, and I lost 10 pounds. I'm pretty happy about that. And I said, you know what? I just need to stop eating ice cream. It's so hard. And I said, that's a self-edifying thing to me and for nobody else. It's okay to do those things. Just don't call it a spiritual gift, folks. Spiritual gifts are always for the common good. Spiritual gifts are given to the believer. You cannot earn it or learn it. You cannot go to a three-day healing. You see these things on Facebook. Hey, if you pay $79.95 and you can pay in three installments, and if you go to the seminar in 3 days, you will learn the gift of healing, folks. And if you pay an extra $20, we will also give this extra side gift as well. 3 days. Wow. But you cannot go to a seminar and learn a spiritual gift, folks. Folks, it's not something you can learn or earn. It's given to you from God, and you have it at the point of justification. Now, it may take you a lifetime to develop that gift and bring out that gift and kind of hone that gift to where you're doing it really good. I mean, when I was 8 years old, when I got saved, God knew that I was going to be a pastor. He equipped me to be a pastor. He gave me that gift at age 8. Did 8-year-old Jeremy think that he was going to be a pastor? No, man. I was worried about playing with G.I. Joes and playing war. But my whole life, as I look back, was all about this spiritual gift that God has given me. And I'm thankful that some of the tragedies in my life, that I didn't go the other way and get mad at God. It's just very easy to do, folks. You got to take the higher road. You got to praise God in everything. And it's hard to do. It's easier said than done, folks. And so you cannot earn it, cannot learn it. So there are essentially three main categories of spiritual gifts that we can glean from the Bible. Number one, the sign gifts. Number two, the speaking gifts. And number three, the serving gifts. First, I want to go over the sign gifts, and these are all inclusive of all the gifts that you can find in the Bible. I think I added in last week's, I think Romans 12, Ephesians 4 has all the rest of the gifts. Those aren't inclusive gifts, though, as far as if that certain gift. Remember, we talked about last week, your energy, your manner in which God has made you really creates an infinite amount of spiritual gifts. There's no pastor like me. There's no pastor or preacher like Mike. And I know that he's going to be a pastor someday. Absolutely. But he's not like me. And so because of that difference, there are unique giftings in that kind of same general sense. But first we have the sign gifts. We have healing, miracles, tongues, and which is languages, interpretation of tongues or languages. These are the sign gifts. These gifts were primarily used to authenticate the messenger and the gospel message during the foundational period of the church. This gift has essentially faded away, but will still be used by God in His divine providence.
Right.
And so there may be a time, I have personally never seen it, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. There may be a time where there's a need for somebody to just through divine moment, given a gift of a foreign language because they need to bring the gospel to some tribe, some people group that has not had the gospel. That can happen, folks. We cannot put God in the box and say, well, I say that all of this is done. I just said, if it's not in the Bible, then it's not in the Bible. And if it is, it is. I've never seen it. But that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. It's faded away, but it still can be used by God wherever He sees fit. And so you have the speaking gifts, which include prophecy, teaching, the word of wisdom or word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, evangelism, pastoring, and exhortation, and the serving gifts. It's our third category here, the service, the helps, the stewardship, the giving, money, material goods, leadership, administration tasks, mean ruling over, mercy, faith, discernment of helps, guidance on decisions. And again, this list is inclusive of all the things that are mentioned in the New Testament from Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and the book we're going through right now, 1 Corinthians. So we are at verse 8 here. We're going to discuss some of the gifts. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. The Greek word here is sophia. It means a varied knowledge of things human and divine, acquired by acuteness and experience. It's intelligence and discerning evidence in discovering the meaning of some mystery, problem, or a challenge. It's the skill of management of affairs by experience. Devout and proper prudence in intercourse with men. Skill and discretion in imparting and applying Christian truth. The knowledge and practice of the conditions for godly and upright living. Smartly applied knowledge is what I put here. It is applied knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can read the Bible and know every Bible verse and say, yep, that's what God says. But if you don't apply it to your life, you are not wisdom. You are a fool. In fact, you are a bigger fool because you know what right looks like, but you choose actively to not do it. And so smartly applied knowledge there Wisdom is God's given maturity and insight about how we approach the world and our circumstances in accordance with the Word of God. Verse 8, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. It is gnosis, that's the Greek word there. Knowledge signified in general intelligence, understanding the general knowledge of Christian religion, the deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of God and His Word. Remember last week we talked about milk and steak. Do you feed a baby steak and potatoes? No, they're going to choke on it and die. So there's various levels of knowledge. When you came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, you're at the milk level. You're learning the basic things. And more you study the Word of God, the more God gives you. All right, I think you can get fruit now. Okay, steak. You start learning the more intricate things in the Word of God. Look at the Gospel of John. You can read it in a very simple gospel message manner, but when you start really digging into it, it's probably the most intricate gospel there is. It's so deep, and it's the living Word of God. It's very topical, but it's also very deep. And so gnosis there, that's the knowledge. Again, it is one thing to know things. It is quite another to apply them. And again, that's where wisdom comes in. Moving on here in verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. So we're not talking about the saving faith where you get saved. It's just faith in something that will happen that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's like, you know what? I know it just doesn't look like it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. God has given me faith, and those people have extreme faith. The Greek word is pistis, relating to God, the conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider, the bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. A strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation, the kingdom of God, godly beliefs of saints, relying on what Jesus did for us at the cross. They're like, you know what? I know all signs point to no, but I have a feeling that this is going to happen. And then it does happen. Again, it's not saving faith. It's an unshakable trust that God will perform, that He will do what He needs to do in your life. Verse 9, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The Greek word is lama, the means of divine healing. The gift of healing, like all spiritual gifts, stands apart from similar natural forms of healing. And so when we talk about this, I believe that God heals through prayer. I've seen it, folks, where people were diagnosed with cancer, they had cancer, there was prayer, 2 weeks later, they're cancer-free. That's divine healing. But what this is referring to is it's an immediate where somebody was touched. And if you're reading the Bible, there's none of this and somebody falls over. It's always a touch or a word. And so the gift of healing here, it is the manifestation of God's power in a supernatural and instantaneous manner. Well, so the gift of healing will always be immediate and recognizable, is permanent as a work of the Spirit. Heals every ailment, every deformity, every disease, every injury, eternal and external. It includes raising of the dead. As designated as a sign gift, again, it was used to authenticate the messenger of the Word of God before they had the New Testament. We have the New Testament now, and so we have a more sure word. In fact, Peter says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. You don't have to rely on a man. You don't have to rely on Peter. You got the Word of God. But this was a sign gift. Now, is that still possibly used in God's providence? Absolutely. I have never seen it. I've never heard of it. I've never read about it. But I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, where somebody who was crippled from birth, was paralyzed in a wheelchair, God could just instantaneously and divinely heal them. And so in the Bible record, though, is only performed by Moses, when he was taking his hand out of his shirt, and it was like, you know, bad, good. Isaiah, when he extended the life of Hezekiah. Elijah, Elisha, and then we have the apostles. And we have, of course, the greatest healer of them all, Jesus Christ. In fact, you read in the book of John, the Gospel of John, he cured so many people that it says that the books, that there's not enough room in this world to write about all of the healings. Jesus went around healing people. It was the sign that he is the Messiah. And the Jews were supposed to see that. I watch The Chosen sometimes. It's good entertainment. Sometimes it's accurate and sometimes it's not. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying, I remember watching a scene where Jesus was in like a little booth and he had a line of people who were crippled. I imagine that's how it happened. For about 3 years, there was no deformities, injuries, or disease in Israel. Jesus was healing everybody. Isn't it something, though? Jesus probably healed thousands and thousands and thousands of people. How many people were with him at the cross? Hardly any, right? There was hardly just a small handful of disciples. And so that is the gift of healing. Again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It just rarely happens these days. It's kind of faded away because it's a sign gift. Let's see here, verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. And so that word miracle, the Greek word is dynamis. I mean, you can hear the word dynamite in it, right? Power, strength, ability, power to perform miracles, moral power of excellence in spirit. Miracles are mighty works of God that alter the normal course of natural events. I always think of a long day Joshua when I think of that. And it literally altered human history from that point. So the long day Joshua was in 700 BC, where God extended the day by like 8 to 10 hours because Joshua prayed to vanquish his enemies like, Lord, the sun's going down. I need more time. And so through a miraculous event, God extended the day by about 8 hours. And since 700 BC, right after that, in human history, all of the societies of the world had to change their calendar from 360 days to 365 and a half. That's why we have a leap year. That's why we have 365. We have 5.5 extra days now because of that event from 700 BC. You have oral tradition in China talking about the longest night. And during that same time. And so how could God, extend, a day? I mean, he just miraculously do it. Or really, a much more simpler way is just, to take the earth and just kind of flip it on its axis a little bit. It caused more sun to stay in the area of Israel. To me, it's probably one of the most amazing miracles you can see in the Bible that you can correlate to human history. And there's another study with that. I'll give you a little teaser and have you do your study. So Earth and Mars, in my opinion, if you read all the material, Earth and Mars used to be on synchronous orbits. So there was a close passby of Earth and Mars in the BC period. That's why that's why Mars is the god of war. It was a horrible time. The Earth was literally being ripped from the gravitational pulls of both. After the 700 or after the long day of Joshua, that wasn't happening anymore. That orbit, that synchronous orbit didn't happen. It's a really cool study, folks. Check it out. It'll blow your mind. Anyways, verse 10 again. To another prophecy. It's prophetia, a speaking gift of discourse emanated from divine inspiration from the Word of God. And so you have essentially four aspects of that. Declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving or admonishing the wicked, or comforting the afflicted, or revealing things hidden that are found in the Word of God. And so really, you only have one of these parts is that, hey, it's not a prognostication, like 3 days from now, you will meet a man named Joe and he will offer you a car. You were supposed to say no to the car because there's a better car the next day. That's how we think of a prophet is, like somebody who tells the future. That's not really what it means in the Bible. in the sense, even the prophets in the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord. They weren't predicting anything. The Lord, they were just repeating what the Lord had given to them.
Yeah.
To say, hey, you know, the Lord said this. And then it happened. And so perhaps a better word for us today would be a proclaimer or proclaiming. We're all little p prophets. We're proclaiming the word of God. When you share the word of God with your neighbor, you are essentially prophesying the word of God. Thus saith the Lord in 1 Corinthians 12, blah, blah, blah. You are prophesying, you are proclaiming the word of God. A prophet can be called to reveal details of God's plan for the world and his people, like Isaiah and Daniel did. A prophet can also refer to someone who explains the spiritual meanings of past or present day events. A prophet can be a person who sings praises as an expression of thanks to God. We were doing that this morning, folks. A prophetic word can be an instruction from God delivered to edify or instruct the church, which is a majority of what that word means today. It's an instruction from God delivered to edify or instruct the church. And folks, anybody can be a little p prophet. You should be proclaiming the word of God to your family, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your town. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in a thing whereto I sent it." Folks, you may not see the fruit of it, but when you proclaim the word of God to somebody, it will not return void. You will see that fruit in heaven if you don't see it today. Verse 10, to another, discerning of spirits. And so that is a couple of Greek words here. Diakrisis, pneuma, eteros. It's the distinguishing, discovery of, or judging of, the spirit of another person. Basically, this is a counterweight to prophecy. It'd say, hey, Jeremy just said that in order for you to be saved, you have to eat oranges. You know what? I'm going to say, no, you're wrong, sir. I'm discerning that statement to be false, because in the Word of God, it doesn't say that. That is a discerning of spirits, and some people have that gift. Some people have that gift to just say, you know what? I know that guy is saying all the right things. I just don't have a good feeling. And people who don't have that gift, like, no, man, he said this. He's good, man. But somebody, you know, would say no, and then later down the road, like, man, I should have listened to you. You know, this guy did this. I'm like, I told you, man. And that is a gift, discerning of spirits. Verse 10, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. And folks, there's a lot of controversy on this subject. Tongues is a foreign language. Glossa is the Greek word here. It's this or a foreign language. That's what that word means. Whenever you see the word tongues in the Bible, that's the definition. Plain and simple, you can't add to it, you can't take away. That's what it means. It is the gift of languages. Glossa, the tongue, a member of the body, an organ of speech, a language, or the language or dialect used by a particular people, distinct from that of other people groups. A person who can suddenly speak with no prior training or knowledge an actual language with verbs, nouns, tenses, adjectives, adverbs, and obvious syntax. That's a language. You know, repeating some strange noise, that's not a tongue.
I don't mean to divert you, but is there any evidence? I never found it for a secret prayer language.
No, in fact, yeah, we talked about that actually last Sunday. There is nothing in the Bible, and thank you, I was going to bring that up. So there's nothing in the Bible. There's no example of an angel speaking in a unknown tongue or a language to another person. It does not exist, folks. There's no examples, none. And so but we read in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 14 that speaking in the tongues of men and angels. Well, of course, angels talk to men in the Bible, but it was always in their own language. Joshua, when he was talking to angels, he understood it. When angels was talking to Mary, he is not here. He is risen. It was a known language that she could understand. All the examples of angels talking in the Bible are always in a language to the hearer, and it was understood completely. Again, there's no language, there is no examples in the Bible of some angelic language that only God can understand. It does not exist, folks. It's not in the Bible. And that was where there's a lot of contention. People have left this church over that belief. They say, well, I know it's not in the Bible, but I believe it anyways. And they're not here anymore. I can't do anything with that, folks. I can't do anything with that. But that's a good question. So the gift of languages. The exercise of this gift has generated so many abuses and perversions that the entire chapters 14 is devoted to it. We talked last week that culture was one of the reasons that the Corinthians needed to be corrected on this. They were bringing their culture, their pagan culture, into this gift of speaking in tongues. It was often in the pagan culture of that day to get drunk and just start talking craziness and just, you know, bumbling. That was how they worshiped God. They would get drunk and just do that. And they'd make weird noises, and they'd have like weird, like jolting gyrations of their body. That was pagan, folks. They were interjecting that into Christianity. And that's why Paul had to write this. He said, hey, stop doing that. That is not of God. In fact, I would submit that it is from Satan. It was from a pagan religion. All of that stuff. I'm not saying that that you're possessed by the devil when you're doing it. And I'm not saying that you're being persecuted by the devil every time that I see that or hear that. I think sometimes you're just being selfish and you're just doing that to gain attention, and that's it. But folks, it's not in the Bible. It's not in there. In fact, it's a holdover from the pagan culture and was interjected into the Corinthian church. And we will talk more about that in chapter 14. Verse 10, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Again, foreign languages. The hermeneia glossa, the interpretation of that has been spoken by others, a foreign language. So what discerning spirits is to prophecy, interpreting tongues is to speaking in tongues. It's an interpretation. You say, you know what, that guy, he was just speaking gibberish, that was nothing. Or somebody like, yeah, he was speaking a Pashto, and he said this. It's the gift of hearing that language and then saying it in English for the edification of the church. If somebody came here today and was from Afghanistan and I didn't speak English, and I was up here preaching, and somebody just was instantly given the language of Pashto and was able to say that to the person what I was saying about the gospel of Jesus Christ, there should be somebody else in the church that also speaks Pashto that could hear it and then translate it into English for us for the edification of the church. That's the gift of interpretation. And so the gift of interpreting languages was a supernatural occurrence. It's receiving without any prior training or practice. It defies the laws of logic and understanding. Again, it is very rare and only in small sections of the Bible. As designated again as a sign gift used to authenticate. I mean, last week, you know, we talked about what is the gift of languages for. It's proclaim the gospel to lost people. That's what the Bible said. It is not a gift, essentially, to edify the church. It's a gift for those people who don't know Christ. It's an evangelistic tool, essentially, to share the gospel with other people. Again, I've never seen it personally. When I was growing up, I went to a very independent, legalistic Baptist church. On Sundays, and I didn't like the youth group there, and mom let me go to the Assembly of God Church for youth group on Wednesdays. Had a lot of fun there, and I thank the youth pastor. I think because of that, I have God has formed me into a pretty even-keeled person as far as what the Bible says, because there's a lot of really strict over here and a very liberal over here. When I was going to youth group, the youth group was like 100 plus. had a great time. We go skiing all the time in the wintertime. And you know what? The youth pastor was a solid guy, and Jesus was always proclaimed. But there would be people doing that angelic talk or saying they're speaking in tongues, but it was like a la 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 la, and they just, it was repetitive noises. I'm like, what is that? It was really weird. Like, what is that? What are they doing over there? And it'd be like, you know, gyrating and falling down on the aisles. It was very troubling to my soul. Yeah. I'm like, what is that? And then, but that same person would be at the kegger, you know, on Friday. I'd be like, hey, weren't you just speaking in tongues at youth group, you know, the other, you know, last Wednesday? And they were the ones leading the kegger, you know, up in the mountains. So these are things I just heard of about the keggers in the mountains, of course, but I don't think even the kids know these days what a kegger is. I really don't. So I don't think they even do that anymore. How foolish we were. Anyways, and so I've seen the abuses a lot, and it never sit well with my soul.
Yeah.
It's because the Holy Spirit was like, that's bad, stay away. But that doesn't mean it cannot occur. And so there may be a time when some folks in some tribe and some nation that's never heard the gospel, and the missionary is just miraculously and instantly given the gift of that. Again, I'm not putting God in the box. It's just faded away. It really, we don't see it anymore. Verse 11, and again, we'll talk about that more in 14, because the Corinthian church was abusing that gift so much that there's a whole chapter devoted to it. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. No one received all the gifts, and no one is without a gift. It may be a different gift, but you need to be content with your gift. Be content in how God is using you. You may have a way of doing something that nobody else has. The Spirit neglects no one, and all is of the result of His divine prerogative. We can have all the grace in the world, folks. You can't have all the gifts. It doesn't work that way. So throughout this passage, though, Paul speaks in a present passive indicative, which means is being given, is being continually giving. It's happening today. It happened then. It happened now. It's going to happen in the future. It's presently being given to convey that God continues to give these special gifts to His people. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Our gifts are assigned by the Spirit according to His will, not ours, and they are ours at that moment that we become a believer. Again, 100% filling of the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of folks say, well, you're not fully filled with the Holy Spirit until you do this or you do that. That is not biblical. In fact, there's verses in the Bible that say that preach against that. And so, folks, you have that. You have the power. You have everything you need. But you'll know a spiritual gift when you see it, because you recognize you couldn't mimic it, or no matter how hard you tried. On the other hand, though, we talked about this, you can develop or nurture your spiritual gifts that God has equipped you with. Was I a pastor at 8 years old? No, I wasn't. I never thought I was going to. In fact, I really had no idea that this was something I would do. Now I can look back at my life and see how God was developing it, you know, nurturing it. But I didn't know that this was, you know, really what I was supposed to do till about 7-8 years ago. But God will you develop it in your life, no matter what you're doing. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, which means parts in the Greek, and the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So we start a new section here. And I think I'm not going to cover that, because that's a whole other half hour. I want to skip ahead to 13, and we're going to close on that. So turn your Bibles to verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. What does that mean? We have, if you're thinking water here, that's not the right context here. He baptizes his followers with the Holy Spirit. Mark 1:8 says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he, referring to Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. We are all baptized in the Holy Ghost upon the point of sanctification. We're all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. I was talking about this earlier when reading the reading that Liam wrote. Maketh me lie down. I don't like lying down behind on the path by still waters. I want to be going. I want stuff to do. I want stuff to go. You know, I don't want to lay down. Sometimes God needs to make me against my will. He's like, hey, I got some rest for you. Just be at peace. And this is the same sense, you're being made to drink. The word, Greek word, verb, potizo, is to give to drink, to furnish the drink. Jesus has given you, he's offered it. So a simple way for us to understand this verse would be to say, all have been given to drink the same Holy Spirit upon salvation in Jesus Christ. We all have been given that gift of living water, folks. That living water is the Holy Spirit. That living water is Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to John 7. We're going to camp on the living water for just a few minutes here, then we'll be done. John 7, 38 through 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because the Jews was not yet glorified. Where has the scripture saith? Whenever the Bible says, as the scripture saith, or as it is written, we go to the Old Testament. Jesus, so when Jesus is sharing this with the disciples, it's during the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. Israel remembered God's miraculous events during their lifetime in the wilderness. As part of the celebration, the priests would carry water to the altar in the temple, recalling God's provision of water from the rock. And I have, I think I wrote it in the sermon insert. You read that account in Exodus 17. Did I put it in there as a verse? Okay. It talks about when they were given living water because they didn't have any water. Moses struck a rock, and they were able to get some water. But on the last most important day of the Feast of Booths, priests would circle the altar seven times with a container of water. That number seven is the number of completeness, folks. You see that all over the Bible. You see that especially in the book of Revelation. And so this is the moment when Jesus is saying this. He says, on this last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's when Jesus is making this claim, folks, saying, if anybody comes to me, you never thirst. You will always have that living water. The living water is the Holy Spirit, folks. You are sealed with it forever. As the human body is one, so also is Christ. Christ means simply the anointed one. And the Lord Jesus is the anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That is why he is called Christ.
Yeah.
But we read all here that all believers which hath anointed us is God. That's 2 Corinthians 1:21. I didn't get this in this morning. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. Just write that down real quick. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. It comes from God. The anointing comes from God. You are anointed. If you, at the point of justification, you have been anointed, folks, with that Holy Spirit. You are sealed with. It is a forever thing. And Jesus Christ has sealed us with the promise of our inheritance. Jesus has forever sealed us with the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of promise. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given us given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So we too have been anointed, made in Christ. We are Christians. We are in Christ. That's why, yes, you are a follower of Christ, but why? Because you are in Christ. You have shared in his baptism. You have shared in his death. You have shared in his resurrection as Jesus being the first fruits. You have been born again by the same Spirit, by the exact same Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. And I know sometimes I actually use that as a, maybe sometimes as an excuse, but, you know, do I need to preach for 20 hours to get a point across? Or do you have the same Holy Spirit? I'm hoping that my words for the 20, 30, 40 minutes spark your interest. Say, you know what? What's the Holy Spirit telling me today? What was Jeremy talking about? What's the word that when he was sharing those verses? The Holy Spirit will use that. He will teach you, and he will guide you. He will correct you. He will exhort you. He will rebuke you, and he will lead you to better things. I mean, we have the ability through the Holy Spirit, if it wasn't for this fleshly body, to perfectly follow Jesus Christ. But because this old man, we're always doing this. That's the sanctification process, folks. Yeah. When we go to heaven, get resurrected bodies, this body stays here and just crumbles. But we're given a glorified body in heaven. Therefore, our risen head in heaven and the members of the body everywhere on earth constitute the Christ, the anointed one, the body. The church is the body, folks. The church is the body. He is our head. The head always tells the hand what to do, the foot what to do, where to walk. This right here gets you in a lot of trouble, folks. The Holy Spirit tells you what perfectly not to say and not to say. But our old man starts talking. This thing right here, you know, talking about a tongue, it has the power to cut and hurt, but it also has the power to uplift and share salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus is that living water. We're going to close here. I'll have the worship team come up here, and we'll wait for the kiddos to be coming out here shortly. So we need to, again, we need to be content with what God has given you and how God is using you. We need to be content how God is using this church. This church is in Polson, Montana. We're not in some other state. We are on an Indian reservation. That is our part of our mission, folks. All people, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, to bring the power of Jesus Christ, to bring that living water to everybody. And that's what we should be doing. We'll go ahead and have our last song here. I think the kids are still in there.
Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, say that thou art, thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word, I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my battleship, my sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity.
thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only be first in my heart. Thy King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, that ever before, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
And if you're here today and you've heard a lot about the Holy Spirit and how He works through people, how He works through the church, and how He is that living water. If you don't have that today and you're scratching your head like, what are you talking about? I don't have that. That's where salvation. That's what it is. Upon salvation, a lot of that makes sense. You can read the Bible as a lost person, and you can understand all the thoughts and the doctrines and everything, but you never really truly believe it unless you have the Holy Spirit. Is anybody here today that does not have the Holy Spirit with them, that does not have that living water, that has not come to Jesus Christ and said, save me, there's nothing I can do to save myself. I want to receive the free gift of salvation. If that's your prayer today, if that's your thought today, come find me afterwards.
Yeah, come on.
Let's get this right. I don't want anybody leaving here today without the Holy Spirit. He will seal you and will be with you forever. It is the promise of your inheritance. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I'm awestruck at the deepness, but the simplicity of your word. Lord, may we come to you with a humble heart, bending our will to your word. Lord, salvation, sometimes I think it's so simple that it is a stumbling block to people, thinking they got to work for it. It is a gift. You cannot work for a gift. It is given unto you, to those who believe. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, then thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. If you're here today and you heard this message, I'll tarry up front here for a little bit. Come find me. If you need some help with your kids, come find me. We'll get it taken care of. Lord, I just thank you for everybody here today. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we continue to endeavor in your word day in, day out, Lord. And Lord, we may not see eye to eye on things, but Lord, we have that same spirit, Lord. And I just ask that we would continue in a loving, gracious, forgiving manner, that we would build each other up with our, each has a specific gift, Lord. You've given us that gift to edify the church. And so, Lord, may we be found working in the church, edifying others upon your return, or until we die.
Amen.
Nobody ever retires from Christian service. It may change or look different, but nobody ever retires. That rest is in heaven. Lord, I love you and I thank you. Bless this week. Again, I just thank you for all the children here today. May we be found working in the service, in this kingdom, Lord, in this earth, in this community, in this town, in this state, in this reservation, Lord, in this world. May we be a peculiar people where people come to you. Like, why are you so happy amidst all this horribleness? Let us be that witness, living a life, loving you, where people come to us and want to know what we got. Lord, our cup does runneth over. You have completely filled us. We just love you. We thank you. And just bless the rest of this day. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, everybody.